that if I ever got emotional, I just need to look at him and I'd realize why I'm leaving. And I'll feel much better, right? So I needed to find out where you were, Ken, before I got started. Johnny said, we had a party for you last week. Why are you still here today? So, you know, you got to love your Christian brothers and all that they do and say for you. You know, 2 weeks ago, we considered where we came from. You know, as we thought about looking back to our past, remembering where we came from, we came from a hopeless situation of total spiritual defeat, and that Jesus Christ called us out from to salvation and victory through His death. Last week, we saw the result of Jesus' calling us out from that defeat and what it has made us, that we are that temple of God, and that we exist within that temple of God as royal priests. We saw that we are God's precious family. We saw that as those royal priests, as that precious family, that in this world, we are God's feet as we go and we teach others. That we are God's hands in our works. And we are God's mouth as we teach His words to the lost. As we proclaim the good news of salvation that is found only in Jesus Christ. Today we must understand that we are not about the past. We do look back, but only to gain strength from our experience as Christians who have overcome sin and continue to overcome sin, and to remember the encouragement, the love, and the blessings that we have received from God and from our brethren. You know, I think about the Lord's ascension in Acts chapter 1. And the disciples, after Jesus ascended into the sky, the disciples were standing there staring in the sky, and two angels came up and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go into heaven." You know, I'm sure as they stood there staring into the sky that Jesus had just been received into, I'm sure that they were thinking about all that they had been through in the past 3 years as they were disciples of Jesus day in and day out. I know that they were thinking of all that was about to not be the case anymore because He had just ascended into the heavens. And yet, God, through those angels, told them they needed to get moving. That the past was not as important as the present and the future work that lay before them as the apostles of Christ. Looking back does help us in our present efforts. We see how we have not always succeeded in our efforts, but through faith and continuing effort, we have overcome so many times. And this helps us in our current effort to live faithful and work for God. Knowing that we may not always succeed at first, but through faith and diligence, we can and we will succeed in the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, we look to the past and we see a Savior hanging on a cross, bleeding and dying for each and every one of us. We look around right now in the present and we see a world that is dying physically and spiritually every moment. These people often fail to even realize that they have no hope. Their life in this condition, their life without Jesus Christ, will be nothing more than a collection of moments that ends in terrible disaster. That is why there is such an urgency, like it was with the apostles, in what we do as the hands, feet, and the mouth of the God that seeks to give such people the only hope that's found in this world. I have an incredible hope for the future that transcends anything that is happening in this world right now. This morning, we all are preparing to transition to a new and different circumstance in our lives. We look back and we see what we have accomplished together over the past 6 years. We have seen for many here, I have seen for many here, great love. I have seen unbelievable change in some of you. I have seen some here increase their Christian maturity to wonderful levels. Literally, some have changed almost, it seems, overnight in their Christian maturity. We have seen exceeding compassion, tireless service, and a steadfast devotion to the Lord. We look around the auditorium this morning at who we are now. And there are many new faces. When I interviewed on August the 1st, 2010, we were across the hall over there. We weren't even in this room. But I looked this morning and I see many different faces than there were that day. We are even more now wonderfully diverse, setting an example of how to be truly colorblind and accepting all who come to Christ. To be like God in that we look at the heart of a person and never the outside. And I love that about this church. And it is, unfortunately, incredibly rare. We have people sitting here this morning calling Jesus Lord because someone shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with them in the last 6 years. Someone took the opportunity and the time and the effort and showed the love of God to them to tell them that there's a Jesus that died for them. And He wants them to be His family. How wonderful that is, and it's wonderful to see those faces here this morning. But we also hope for more. We hope for a great, wonderful future. This incredible hope that we have is twofold in nature. First, I have great hope for what the family of God here at Cary will do in the future. I believe this because this is the history of this church. Cary has been making a difference for God in North Carolina for many years, sending members to teach and to preach in small congregations that were in need, members rotating to go and to help a small congregation that didn't have anybody to preach on a given Sunday morning or maybe for a period of time, helping those small congregations keep their doors open with financial help, because we know and we understand that it's far easier to help those congregations keep their doors open than to let them die and try to start again. This church standing for the truth in an area where interest is not always easily found. The strength in the heart of this congregation has always been and must always remain the desire to stand as the pillar and supporter, the pillar and foundation of the truth in the triangle in North Carolina and indeed into all the world. And I believe that will happen because of you. You know, what has been accomplished over the past 6 years has been a family effort. What has been accomplished since this congregation opened its doors back in the 70s has been a family effort. And I leave here after today with the great and unshakable hope in that this congregation can be great because its successes have never been because of a preacher. It has been because of the family that it lives here. Family seeks to be like its father. God will bless you with another man of God who can teach and preach His truth. I believe that. I trust that. I have faith in that. But there will come a day, as is always the case in this life, because life is this way, that man will leave as well. That's going to be unavoidable. But this family will continue on. This family will continue on, and it is my prayer that however long it may be, that when the Lord appears in the sky and returns to this earth, it is my prayer that there will be a family in Cary, North Carolina, still worshiping God. And that whoever they are on that day, they will rise to join all the other members of this family that have lived faithful and gone to be with the Lord forever. That's what we should pray. A lasting church and lasting presence in this area. This is without a doubt one of the most talented congregations I have ever worked with. Yet we must always remember, and it is important for us to always remember, that talent is never enough. You know, when we look at Matthew chapter 25, we see that the one talent man was given something. He was given something for which he could use to work for the Lord, and yet he didn't use it. So we have vast talent in this congregation, but we must remember that it must be used. As long as this unbelievably talented family uses and multiplies those talents in the furthering of God's Word in the world, the future of the Cary Church of Christ is truly going to be something that is great, something that is worthy of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Great hope for the future lies within faithful people who are completely dedicated to the God that gives the increase to our planting and our watering of God's Word. At the top of these people are the elders. And I have been incredibly blessed to work with Jim and Terry for the entirety of my time. Y'all can blame them. They were actually here when they hired me. But also to work with Laddie. I guess you can still blame Laddie too. But also to work with Laddie, Tom, Ken, and Leslie for a portion of the time. These are godly men who I love. They are not perfect, but as much as I've spent time with them, I've never heard them claim to be such. But I can assure you, they do their best, and they care deeply for you. They care deeply for the members of this congregation. And you may not always agree with their decisions, but I would encourage you to always remember, even in disagreement, that you may not have all the facts. That these men do have your best interest, spiritual interest, at heart. They have not only been the shepherds of my soul and those that guided my work here, but they are, well, I believe, continue on being my friends. And I thank them. They have encouraged me when I have gotten down. You know, there are things that preachers can only really talk, the only people they can really talk to about certain things are the elders sometimes. They have encouraged me when I'm down, and at times they've settled me down. I get a little fired up sometimes. I don't know if y'all have noticed. But they've settled me down at times. They have given me pause at times when I was going to act rashly. And they have provided me another thought when I have failed to see sometimes the whole picture. You are blessed to have these men watching for your souls. Honor them as God commands in Hebrews chapter 13, rather, in verse 17, because that is good for them and that is good for you. Also know that there are men who are preparing their lives for this great responsibility one day, and there will be a day when these men will, by life, need to be replaced. They are preparing for this great responsibility, and I pray for you, your diligent effort, so that you will be men who continue the faithful leadership that characterizes the elders of today. The deacons here are men who want to see many things done, and they need each person's help in serving God in the areas of their work. A deacon was never... there's no indication that the deacon was expected to, to just take a work and be the only man doing it, but to be the man that leads others in doing it. So they want to do that. I was incredibly encouraged by the deacons that the elders appointed a few weeks ago. And I know that there are many other men ready or preparing their lives for this effort. Such men give hope for a future of productive and substantive work here at Cary. I could spend the remainder of our time speaking of all the exceptional Christians in this congregation. I could tell you about their love. Things that you don't know about and very few people do. Their love, their sacrifice. I could tell you of many members' efforts, their compassion, of their tirelessness, of their attentiveness, and of their kind words. All of these things I have been the beneficiary of. But I also know that many of you have been the beneficiary of it as well, as you have shown these attributes to each other. It is such people that comprise this family that will continue to plant the seed of truth and water with further teaching and encouragement, in that you provide the opportunity for God to give great increase. I pray that God will bless you as you go forth into such a glorious and great future with hope and certainty. But I said it was twofold. Second, our greatest hope for the future lies beyond our physical lives. It is the hope of eternity in heaven one day. No matter what happens to us in this life, no matter who opposes us, the hope of heaven, my friends, cannot be taken away from any one of us. People have had that hope as lions ripped them to shreds and killed them in Roman Colosseums. People have had that hope as people have pointed guns at them and asked them if they were Christians. And all the way through the moment that they breathed their last. That hope cannot be taken from us. Can you imagine the hope that was given to a criminal suffering the horrors of crucifixion? Can you imagine the hope that was given there when he heard the words, "Today you will be with me in paradise"? For a man who was hanging on a cross, clearly understanding that he deserved exactly what he was getting, and a man who was hanging on a cross knowing what he had done and with hopelessness, and yet he hears the words of Jesus, "Today, within hours, you will be with me in paradise." What hope was given in that moment to that man? The hope of heaven, the comfort of paradise, are incredible sources of hope for us in our lives. Consider Stephen and what was on his mind as the stones bruised and broke his body. I can tell you what was on his mind, and it was heaven as he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. It was heaven. And when that is the hope and that is the focus, things like bitterness and revenge and hatefulness that Stephen could have easily had toward those people that were stoning him, they go and they become something that is so petty and insignificant that we do not even want them in our lives anymore. Because heaven is so much greater and so much more than that. And the words would come from his mouth, "Do not lay this sin to their charge," the very men that were stoning him. Why? Because his focus was on heaven. Not just his hope of getting there, but the hope of those that were stoning him, that they might be there as well. One day, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, every person who has died in the Lord will rise from the dead and ascend to join Jesus. And those who are alive will also arise and join them in the air. I miss Tom doing announcements when somebody leaves. And I hope somebody picks up the tradition. Because Tom always said, I don't know how many times I've heard him say, as people have moved away from Cary, because we are a church that has a lot of transition sometimes. Tom always said, we don't say goodbye as Christians. Say, see you later. Love Tom for that, because he understood. He understood that our hope's not really about here, it's about there. It's about heaven. That's really our primary focus in this life. That's our great hope. Whether separated by life circumstance or death, there's going to be separation between us. And it will only be, though, for a short period of time compared to eternity. We will spend all eternity together in heaven with God. What a great hope for the future. This life cannot change that. Only our decisions on whether we will live and give our life wholly to God can change that fact and that hope. Paul put this hope into words in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39, where he said, What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over to us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is, as it was written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing that can take away the love of Christ that wants to see us in heaven one day. That hope is secure in Him. No matter what happens in this life, my friends, we win. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. Nothing can change that. Nothing can slow that. Nothing can stop that. Because we serve an all-powerful God. And He has said it. He spoke the universe into existence, and He has said that this is the case for us. And the same power exists within His words. It is a guarantee, not just a hope, because He is all-powerful. Paul approached death for his faith, and he wrote his words of hope to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. He said, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Paul had been faithful. And that faith provided absolute and unfailing hope for the Apostle Paul. It was the same hope that he demonstrated when he wrote in Philippians chapter 1 that for him to die was very much better because he would be with Jesus Christ. But he selflessly chose to stay, which was, he said, was better for us. Now he looked with hopeful eyes for the day when his life would be very much better. You know, we're always worried about how I make my life better. You know, I'll tell you how to make your life very much better. Be with the Lord. The day when he would receive his reward, the same reward that that will be given to us if we fight the good fight, if we finish the course, if we keep the faith. Because if you do that in this life, if you fight that fight, you keep that faith, you finish that course that's set before you by God, I guarantee you that when Jesus Christ appears in the air, it's the greatest day of your life. And there will be nothing better and nothing else you would wish for and want, because you will love that day. You will love that appearing, because your entire life has been moving toward that moment when Jesus Christ comes back for you. How wonderful it is. May every one of you live in such a way that this separation will only be for a moment. Now I'm talking our separation from each other. That it will only be for a moment of life that will be like a vapor that appears for just a moment. and then vanishes away. And after that short moment, thanks to the love of God and our Lord Jesus Christ, we will spend the eternal endless ages together, never to be separated again. May we in one voice say, as John said in the next to last verse, "Come, Lord Jesus." That is our great and glorious hope today and forevermore. I am thankful to God I'm thankful to God that I will get to spend eternity in heaven with Him. I look forward to it. I'm also thankful that I'll get to spend it with you. And I look forward to it. May God help and strengthen each of us to make that great hope a reality in our lives. Hope for the greatest life on this earth is Christianity. There is no greater life that a person can live. There is no better life that a person can live than the Christian life, the life spent serving God. I have seen a lot of people. I've seen what sin has done to people. In the years that I've been preaching, I have seen the terrible circumstances that sin tears people's lives down. And they think it's so great when it starts, and then I see the terrible destruction that it wreaks on their life. And I don't say it easily, and I don't say it just because the Bible says it. I say it because I've seen it. I've seen real Christianity and the strength it provides to people in the worst of situations and allows them to handle those terrible situations with the grace that I long to have. I know Christianity is the best life. I have never seen anything close. It is the greatest thing in this world. If you are not a Christian this morning, you're missing that. And you may say, "Well, my life's going pretty well right now, Nathan. Sin has a passing, a pleasure for a season." But even if we don't talk about this life, where's your hope for death? What does that hope? Jesus Christ gives hope there. For in life or death, Christianity is the best. We hope and pray that you'll make the decision this morning to do that, to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, to confess Him as the Son of God, the Son of God that left the glories of heaven and came to this earth to die for you. God just didn't say, "Okay, I guess I'll just save them." He said, "No, I'm going to sacrifice for them to show my love, to show how important they are to me." It's more than words. It is manifested in Jesus hanging on the cross. To turn your life around, to come back to God, to live as He has commanded. Repent of those things that you've done. To be buried in baptism. To die as Jesus Christ died, to put self to death, to be buried in that watery grave as He was buried, having your sins washed away there, to rise as He rose to a powerful new life. Being a new creation, being born into the family of God. How wonderful it is. And all of heaven celebrates. This morning, if maybe you're not a child, maybe if you are a child of God, maybe as you think about if you were Paul and you knew that your life was days away from ending, would his words be what you could say honestly? If you knew Wednesday was your last day to be on this earth, could you tell me this morning, "I fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith"? If you can't, you need to change. Because you may not have to Wednesday. But it is fighting the good fight, keeping the faith, and finishing that course that ultimately gets you to the crown of life, or the crown of life that Jesus Christ gives to those that love is appearing. Gives to those that have done those things. Paul says, I know mine's there. May we know, because we are actively pursuing the will of God in our lives. May we know that it's there for me, and I long for His coming. We hope and pray that you this morning will make whatever changes you need to make in order to secure the hope of God, the hope of heaven for your life. Because folks, we truly have the greatest hope that there is in this world. Thanks be to God that that's the case. If you want that, won't you come as we stand, as we sing?